Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal-getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my special guest today, Zulfia Forsythe. She's from Uzbekistan, yet she resides in Boston. Super excited to talk to her today. She's the CEO of Amodly Group, which is a full-service data analytics and AI firm, and she is an expert in construction AI. Her passion and her background, she loves healthcare and real estate investing. She was a seasoned CPA and a data analyst. So she's got a ton of knowledge, a ton of wealth of information. She has an amazing story. She's so fun. I love her personality and really excited to pick her brain today. We're going to be talking about how to streamline your operations using AI agents. We're going to talk a little bit about her story and just where the conversation takes us. So Zulfia, welcome.
Thank you, Kelly, for introduction.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you here today. You know what I want to do? I want to start with your story because my audience is mostly entrepreneurs, people who are goal setters, who've gone through some adversity to get to the things that they want for themselves and their lives and their family. And I know that, you know, you being an entrepreneur, you had a bit of a challenging start in before you're, you know, have seen your success that you do now. So can we go back to the beginning? Can we go back to your story around how did you start this business and what were you going through at the time?
Sure, 100%. So I actually started my first take on entrepreneurship in 2020 when the COVID happened because I got laid off from my W-2 job. And I started to kind of like, all right, well, let me go on Upwork, for example, a freelance website and try to see if I can find some type of opportunities. And my first opportunity was helping somebody in a real estate property management side. I know Yardi very well. It's a real estate property management software. So I was like, but I was very terrified, to be honest, because my background comes from corporate. You have a manager, you have a team that you can go back to asking questions. So if there's any screw up, basically not alone. But here, people are hiring me, paying me, and looking at me as an expert to actually take them from A to Z, from beginning to the end. I don't have nobody kind of to lean on to. And I remind you, at that time, ChatGPT is not available. So you cannot go and do the deep research or a quickly prompt like, how do I solve this situation? You just left the worldwide web, basically. But I took on and actually was success. And I still have that check from money that I made. I think it's like $4,600. I was just like, wow, like I can make money. This is fantastic. I still have that check in my boo folder. I have it clipped. Just something. It was just a confidence that I could do this. After that, I got a W job and I kept this going. So I'm passionate about real estate investing. My whole thing, why I started, why I kept it going, because we got the real estate property and we got a multifamily, and it was a pretty scrappy multifamily. So meaning like, I don't know if they updated the pictures on Google by now, but it literally was like squirrels running in the attic, basically. And when I got this property here in the suburbs of Boston, I was just so excited to get my offer accepted. And I remember during the inspection, I walked in, I was like, what did I just buy? I just bought like a crooked house that's 1900s, basically. But anyways, and I kept my W-2 job and kept that business kind of sitting on Upwork and helping other business owners, and absolutely loved it. I loved helping business owners because I could jump in right away and be like, I can solve your problem. We don't need to go through weeks of interview process and where it's just like practical knowledge. Here, log in. Can you set up, for example, my property management to make sure I have proper analytics in place, to make sure I have proper setup and implementation, automation in place. Can you actually do it right now? And that's what I loved. I love just kind of like jumping in, fixing the problems. I'm like, what else? What's next? And in 2023, I got laid off again. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go and lean in this full time. And by that time, I actually was working till 2 o'clock in the morning. I also got pregnant with our first son in 2021. So I had my first son while basically doing the renovation on that property. As well as like running my full-time job and the business on the side as well. So I know in 2023, I was like, I'm not a quitter, but sometimes universe just give you a kick and be like, all right, Sophia, you cannot keep working till 2 a.m. with the infant, basically, that you have, a little child that you have. And I just went on it. I think one of the things is I just kept going. I just knew that passion was just to make extra money, but then evolved into, now I have these clients that become someone that I care about, someone that I want to succeed. And like, what else can I do? How else can I help, basically? And I just, now building the team, hiring the team. And now it's another thing. Kelly, I used to volunteer in my corporate job. And I remember one thing, I used to volunteer a women's shelter. I used to do Big City, Big Brother, Big Sister program as well. And I remember my friend, after one of my volunteering events, like after work, I will go and volunteer a women's shelter. And he would tell me, no, Sophia, you really could help somebody by, you know how you really can help somebody? By giving them a job. And almost at that time, I was in the corporate, like I had no, I was way before, I didn't even know how to be an entrepreneur or even have that on my horizon, that one day I will be, I will have a business, one day I will be able to hire somebody. That was just like, that's just something just so big to me, something so impossible. So when he told me that, I almost felt like, what are you saying to me? You're saying to me that what I'm doing is not helpful, you know, like me volunteering, and you tell me you really want to help somebody, go get them a job. And now that I have a team, when I started getting business, I realized, oh my gosh, like having, how hard the entrepreneurship could be, but having a team, seeing somebody that goes from entry level to mid to senior, and now the whole life has changed, their quality of life, their purpose of life. And they tell me, like, Sophia, when you hired me, I was a entry level, and now I'm a senior. And like, you know, sometimes they move away, find another job, and they tell me, like, thank you so much. I would never think I will get that job, but because of you, I did. And I just, that's like, that's just something that, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this is all worth it, 100 times and over.
Oh my gosh, right? And so, you know, you share your story and you make it sound simple. Yet a few things that you shared, like one, I love that you still have the first check you made as an entrepreneur. I think that's a big deal when we go from employment into entrepreneurship. Even if you make $10, you know, it means you're an entrepreneur. It means you made money working for yourself, and to be so proud of that, because it's a big deal and it's a big step. And you know, and then in 2023, not expecting it and losing your job while you're pregnant, you know, I think I remember you telling me too, that your husband got laid off at the same time.
So that was interesting. Yeah. In 2024, then what happens is, so 2023, my son is almost, 2020? So almost like year and a half. He's late in 2021 was born. Then in 2020, as I go 23 full time, in 2024, my husband gets laid off, and we were trying to have a second child for over a year. And then I find out I'm pregnant as well. So I'm like, here I am, pregnant with my second kid, my husband gets laid off, I am just panicking. Now I'm sole breadwinner of the household. And like, my marketing is not in place. I don't even know how to make one reel. I don't even know, like, I would watch on Instagram, how do they do this? How would I do like these reels and make it so interactive and so interesting? I would not even know how to put the case study together. Just like, I was basically lost. I thought, you know, I'm not going to have my business. But what I did is I pushed through. I got into Dan Martell coaching program, and I always used to read books, but now I have a community to go back to and ask questions. And I just kept showing up every single day. And I was so grateful for my pregnancy that I did not, like, I was able to push through my morning sicknesses, did not take a nap, because, you know, you would have some time to get tired or not have the energy. And I'm just so grateful that I had all the energy, that I didn't skip the one day of work. I just worked till my delivery. I delivered. And then at the same time, I was like with my laptop, like, all right. Like, I remember some of my partners that I like work with closely, some of my clients, they're like, I basically text them in the morning, hey guys, it's 9 o'clock. I'm on delivering a baby. And then a couple of hours later, hey, I'm back. What was that? What was that project about? Can you tell me more, a little bit about details, so I can put a proper estimate? And they're like, what are you doing?
You're crazy. I love that. But you know, this is real talk, right? Real life, and it can be messy. And I think the reason why I love your story is because it's real. You know, we decide we're going to be an entrepreneur, and usually that's when we get tested or life happens. And it's like, how do we just keep going, right? When we feel like sometimes the odds are stacked against us. And you know, I'm curious because you started to say what I started to do was I got some coaching, I joined a community. So what would you say before we dive into the topic of, you know, AI and AI agents, just curious, what played a role in your turning point with the evolution of your business starting to blossom?
I think one of the things that coaching, right, helped me a lot because I've surrounded myself with people that are pushing through their adversities and that are always like this is the strategy that you should do. This doesn't work. Go there. So instead of me banging my head and trying million things, like on the marketing side, for example, now I have a friend that jumps on a call with me and audits my calls and tells me, Sophia, don't do this way. Put the package this way. Like, this is how I'm doing. Let me show you. And then boom, all of a sudden my light bulb. So instead of me spending weeks trying A/B testing something that I'm completely wrong on, I have now friends that we care each other. And if they have a question about AI, I jump on and I help them out. We unlock each other like this. And I think it's a community that I've got from my coaching, and also like the the speed to your decision making and to your analysis paralysis. Another thing is niche slap, as I was just like trying to serve so many industries and I got niche slapped so many times. And I think another thing is like, I was reading all these books from Alex Hormozi and everybody else and everyone that I ever met, they're like, pick a niche, pick one vertical and become the best in that vertical, that now you will have clients just coming to you. But at the same time, it's kind of frightening. Now you have to say no to every other business that's coming. Like, and the advice that I've gotten was like, your marketing could be to kind of mitigate that. Your marketing should be towards your niche. But if people come in and you can help them, and if it's really something that would not, let's say, huge distraction that's coming on your table, take that opportunity. You need the cash at the beginning, especially. But your marketing still needs to stay on track for the niche that you support. And another thing that I also see is, why is that important? Because as I was serving on AI implementation and data analytics implementation, it's always unknown. I work with different systems and technological staff of my client. And due to lack of niche, there's different systems. They might have different limitations. They might have also business model, how they operate, knowing their all the pains and helping them to succeed just becomes so hard. And on the back end with the team, deliverables and it's just really hard to scale, and it just causes so much pain on both ends. So this is where I'm like, all right, I've got the niche, I got to stick to it. And I just love that I made that decision. This is one of the things I'm really proud of, that we as entrepreneurs, I realize we love to solve problems. And sometimes like in me, focus is a key, and focus is really hard to find because you're like, oh, I can do this and I can solve this and I can do this, right? And your hand and like your mind start working in all of these directions on how you can solve it. But then it's time, it's opportunity cost. And this is where I'm just like, focus is one of another thing. My Graham Barlow is my coach as well, actually. And one of the big things that he constantly comes me back is like, focus, Sophia. Just if you put all your time and energy into one thing, you can be so successful. Your team could be so successful. So just focus, narrow it down. And I feel like this was one of the biggest pluses for me.
Oh my gosh. I love it, right? I love it. And I agree. And, you know, my mentor used to say, like, the reason why most people don't make it as an entrepreneur is because they're not willing to focus on the same thing over and over again and become a master of it, right? Because as entrepreneurs, we like to be, what else is out there? What's going on, right? What other problem can I solve? And so get really great at what your niche is. And that's how you're going to be able to grow and scale your business and help so many people. I also love how you talked about just coaching and community. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, a lot of times it's putting our ego to the side and asking for help and asking for support and following the people who have the things that we want, because that saves us so much time and money. So I love you talked about that too. You know what I want to chat about? I want to talk about this concept of an AI agent, because I feel that this is also your zone of genius, and that's what you help, construction businesses and businesses, you know, implement. But I'm going to ask a really simple question first. What is an AI agent? And then how does it differ from like traditional like automation tools?
100%. This is such a good question. So AI agent has ability. So AI agent, first of all, it's a large language model. All there is a statistical model that has the ability to recognize human language. Human language when through different modality. Modality means voice, through text, through video. So now if we had machine learning for a long, long time, I mean, it's always been here. So it basically gathered and indexed all the information that is out there on the World Wide Web. Every book it read, every article that's been out there up to this date, for example, it read. So it's a large language model. Really, the agent, it's a large language model. Like, for example, when you go to OpenAI, right, ChatGPT, you've noticed that sometimes it would be like four, like different models. There would be like four, MIDI, or there would be O3 reasoning, or GPT 4.1, GPT, like at the beginning it was GPT 3.5, for example, right? All these different tiers. So that's really a large language model. An agent is the model that is fine-tuned to perform certain tasks. The model that is designed or being kind of like set up to become your receptionist, to become your secretary, to handle your emails, or to handle your customer relation management system, for example, or to handle your project management. So now it's trained to know that system, to know the items that come through that system, to see how, for example, the records are created in that system. And now it's essentially basically now you have, if we look at like data, it's just now having ability to have a conversation with that data because now it recognizes the human language. So anytime you type to it, what it does on a back end, it literally converts into numbers. So whenever we do ChatGPT prompt, we see the words. But the models behind it, the statistical models, they literally convert that quickly into numbers. And it's an entire matrix. Oh, if Kelly's asking me about, for example, business, then she probably wants to know about money. Then probably she wants to know about, like, for example, let's say business types, or that she then also wants to know business books, business podcasts, or business influencers. And it just is really on the back end, it's trying to find similarity. What's the word that you put in there? What's the next similar word that's probability word that's associated with that? That's all what's doing. So now you attach voice to it or like text messaging. Now it's just now recognizing that and doing like processing it much at much faster speed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. Thanks for explaining it. And so here's my question, two parts. Do you feel that every entrepreneur / business owner, it would be to their benefit to have AI agents in their business? And then can you give some examples of what the benefits would be on a day-to-day basis?
Oh my gosh. So where we're moving right now with the world, the AI agent or the AI system operates are moving so fast. You see Google, you see OpenAI, you see, you hear like, for example, Microsoft, right? Advancing, investing billions of dollars in building these data centers. So as the world becomes more digitalized, then now you have these basically machine learning models, the algorithms on the back end running and synthesizing, processing that all information and spitting it out to us basically. Because then now they can connect on the back end as fast as possible and recognize your human language. You can really talk with it right now. So as we advance, if you're a company right now and you don't have that infinite innovation in place, you're going to fall behind. That's 100%. Because now your competitors are onboarding that at the speed. Like, for example, if before, so let's say this. Before AI came in, right, there was internet. There was YouTubes and Googles. You can literally learn anything on YouTube. All you need is curiosity and time to put into it and focus. But now imagine people that have not leveraged that skill and improved themselves now, but versus people that have, and now they have AI, the acceleration point is 1000%. So everyone who has not been using YouTubes and Googles to learn and make their business better, or onboarded consultants that know all that knowledge to make their business more efficient and owner less dependent, basically is going to be competing with people that done that and now they use AI. The gap is going to be on a social level and economical level. So what I would say is for every business, one of the use case scenarios, right? Like literally every service business. I help, for example, HVAC companies. I help junk removal or moving companies or even fire alarm companies, right? So construction service companies to streamline the operations, because what I see is numbers are staggering. So this is what happens. Over 65% of calls, incoming calls, do not get answered. Like, have you tried calling any like a service contractor, like for example, for landscaping or for like to fix your pipe, for example? Like, have you had an experience of calling any one of them? How often do they pick up?
Yeah, that's true. Like most of the time you have like, you'll make a call. Oh, they're not answering. So then okay, who else can I call? I'll call them. Oh, they don't answer. Like, and you're calling until you just find somebody who picks up the phone.
So now what's happening when we work with them, we've noticed that 65% of calls get missed. But here's the thing. That is not apparent to them. What they see drop in the revenue. They see the outcome. They're like, well, I don't have enough revenue. I'm going to go spend marketing dollars on basically getting more leads coming through the door. But then what I've noticed, because I'm on the analytics side, I can see where the gaps are in their business operations, where the leakage is. I see that they got so many leads, they got so many confirmations, but only 2% converted because they failed on follow-up or they failed to pick up the phones. And then out of the 35% that they pick up the calls, not everybody converts because, you know, people ask for information, for quote, let me think about this, right? So then now they're like, their hands are dry. They're like, well, out of 35%, I have maybe like 10%, but I have a team that needs to, like, I would like to scale even 10 or 5%. And you could see the gaps in their systems and just how basically they don't have a lead problem. They have a business operations problem. And this is where I have a voice AI agent, Vicky, for example, and I would love to demo it. Like, I would love to call in and kind of show you as well. It picks up every call. Then it makes sure there's a follow-up, it sends a form, it books an appointment for you, and it enters that record into the system. So you actually see the lead came in, what was the last time you talked to them, what was the follow-up about, how many times you follow up with them, for example, and was there any appointment, or if it's urgent, 24 hours, it pins the right technician, and if that technician is not answering, it pins them again and tells you notification. So instead of you scrambling here and like, what happened? Did we get back to that person or not? Like, did you have a chance? So we also see that there are a lot of phone systems. For example, most of them will leave voicemail. Like, for example, if somebody did not pick up the call, the voicemail will come onto your email and you have to listen to it. Kelly, you know how many people have to listen to that phone, to that voice recording on average? At least two, to make a judgment on what's happened. And then they have to remember, oh, if that's a new thing, oh, I don't have to ask Bob or somebody else, for example, to figure out what's happening. So just so much time wasted right there. And if you don't have places like that, your competitors are having, and now they're catching the net. And we know that if you're not catching the net, they're moving to your next contractor. And we know that customer acquisition is very expensive.
Yeah, thanks. That's a brilliant example you just gave, because I can just see how that happens in so many businesses. And that it really is looking at, hey, where's the source of the loss of revenue here, right? And if we're going to spend money, let's spend it in a way where it's going to solve the problem. And most of the time it's business operations and how to improve them. And I'm just thinking as you're speaking, because it makes so much sense to me, yet I'm curious, what would you say to those who are listening? And I'm sure you've come up against this where people understand it, they get it, but there's a fear of one, applying it because they don't understand AI. Number two, there's a fear of spending the money, like, will it work? And like, I'm going to be spending X amount of dollars for this AI agent. And then the time, like, for them to understand. So like, those fears that will probably pop up for people, right? Like, understanding it, not knowing it, the time, the money. What would you say about that?
100%. I think the money is the way you look at this. For example, there's a real case scenario when I talk to my clients and they say, well, we have answering a service, but answering service is not after hours and not on the weekends. And then they do not log the information to the CRM. And then, so that's one thing, right? Because you want to log the information. You want to know who's calling. You want to have these follow-ups. You want to have why people refused your service or were they lost? Like, what happened basically? And then when we rely on humans, we all humans. We want to do work that fulfills us. We sometimes are we inconsistent, right? So what I also hear from them, oh, they forget to enter the information. For example, or manually they would enter, they would, the notes, the conversation piece, for example, what they talked about, they have to remember the conversation that they talked about and then put the notes in. All of that could be streamlined. AI already recorded that and could put summaries on the phone calls right there for you. You can transcribe it and you can actually read what, instead of even on Go High Level right now, for example, the phone calls would be like a recorded little like a MP3 that you have to listen. So what I see for example, they have an office manager and now they didn't respond. Now the owner will come in after hours and listen to it and figure out what's happening, what they leave the voicemail, what was the conversation about, to kind of, now it's a double down work. And when we talk about price, so let's think of it this way. In the United States, if you want to hire somebody part-time for office manager, you probably spend $50,000 full-time, let's say $25,000 part-time, somebody to come in and you pay taxes for them. Or even if you go offshore, you spend $25,000 a year. However, when you're getting there, you still, for the part-time person, they're not full-time, they're 20 hours a week. And 20 hours a week, they cannot pick up every call and they cannot basically enter every conversation into your CRM with the old details. It's just humanly impossible. And then if they leave, if you want to scale, you got to now up them to 50,000 and you're going to train them. If your business scales now, the training and the person leaves, right? We're all humans. We want to take vacations. We have life matters to come up. Now you in this perpetual training zone. With AI, it's going to cost a fraction of that. And you train it once. And then for initial onboarding, and you can basically add on to it. Now you have a scalable system that grows with you. And actually now you put people where they are the best. The people I believe are the best in creative work and work that fulfills them. And I see that a lot of times, like nobody wants to do admin work for a long time. They just get bored. They get inconsistent. You don't get good results just because it's boring to do data entry. And these are the jobs that are going to go away. Data entry, admin work, recruitment is another actually a job that's just going to go away. And we need to make sure that our people are trained to take on additional jobs that AI will create. Guess what? These AI agents right now that I'm creating jobs. How? As I implement these systems, now somebody has to monitor them. Somebody has to manage them and oversee them to make sure that they don't hallucinate, they provide the right information, the guardrails are inset, meaning guardrails, there's a guidelines and are followed in terms of what information to provide, what information to ask. So that all needs to be maintained as we onboard. In the future, there are going to be so many AI agents more than humans. And guess what? Google right now is about to release AI voice calling for consumers. You know, what does that mean? So what they're doing now, Google is working on AI voice calling. So now you don't need to, if you're Pipers, you don't need to go down to the Google, basically reviews and find a person. Google will have call you on your behalf. And now collect the quote information, collect the availability information and come to you. So the future is, Kelly, literally this is the future. You're walking down the beach, for example, with your dog, let's say, right? Or with your pet, and you have glasses or you have some headphones. And the phone call comes in, let's say, from your friend, and your friend saying, hey, Kelly, I would love to meet for you. Let's go get like some dinner, for example, right? So now AI agent is sitting there actually and telling you and listening to all of this. And after the conversation, telling you, I'm going to arrange a phone call. I'm going to arrange that dinner with your friend. I know your schedule. I know when you're available. I know the best place that you like, if you have some preferences. And then these AI agents are going to talk between you and your friend and arrange all of that, basically scheduling, all of that, restaurants, booking, and all you have to do is show up. Or you might say, you know what? I want to have my clothes clean. I have this beautiful presentation that I'm speaking in front of 1,000 people, and I want to look amazing. I have a suit that I want to prepare. You talk to your agent, right? And now AI agent is going to call the cleaning services around your home because it knows where you live, and then arrange the time for you to drop off your cleaning and tell you how much it will cost you. This is going to be the future. So if we are not, isn't that wild? Mm,
it is, as you're sharing it. But as you're sharing it, I'm like, that's pretty cool, actually. Like, that's really cool. that's what it's going to be. And it's so funny because I was going to ask you where you thought the future and the evolution of AI was going. So this is a great example.
The phones will become like a pager. Remember the pager? They will become a pager. And I had this thing. So last year when I was putting sleep on my toddler, I literally thought, you know what? You know how we watch this, the Marvel movies, where you have, for example, like Captain America's and whatever, they have these screens, right? Where they touch things and things come kind of like in animation, right? And I thought the future is going to be me telling the bedtime story to my child, not reading him a book, but literally be like, let's read this book digitally together. And I pop up on my screen, I click on the characters of that book and they become animated. The dog will sprint, the bunny will jump, and we'll tell the stories that way. And it would be probably for my glasses or something, and it would be super interactive, and maybe we can even create the stories as we go together. I mean, this is going to be the future.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, and as you're speaking, I'm just sitting here thinking it's so important for entrepreneurs and business owners to embrace the change and not fall behind and start to get educated and be open to the innovation so that their businesses can grow and scale, because it's happening whether we want to look at it or not. And it can be a beautiful, beautiful blessing to all of our growth. And, you know, a big thing that you and I, one of our mentors, talks about is how to buy back our time. You know, the goal of being an entrepreneur is not necessarily money freedom, it's time freedom. And when you're sitting here speaking about the AI agents and all it could do, is what, where my mind goes to is what a blessing, because that's going to free up my time to do the things I want to do, which is hang out with my family, focus on my health, see where else I could be of service, go and give back, pour into my team. And, you know, you mentioned it too, that it allows people to be more creative and do the things they love to do within your team versus having to do the tasks that no one really wants to do anyways.
Yes, 100%.
Right? Which is so great. Okay, I'm just curious, a question before we start to wrap up. What do you wish more people understood about leveraging AI and using AI and AI agents for their business success?
That's a good question. I think another thing that I try to say to my clients is, let's not use AI word. It's a technology. It's just a technology that now will help you to automate those manual processes that you have. But I also would like to work on changing our mindset, opening up, how else can we make it better? Because the whole point when I was an accountant and I changed careers to become an IT person, the one thing that pushed me into this, I just asked myself, how can I make this better? How can I remove myself from these manual things and tasks that I had to do every month? How can I make this better? So, and I think this, if we ask ourselves, hey, how can I make this better? How this technology could help me to make more money? And it's on me to explain it in such a way that is so simple. I think it's on us, on entrepreneurs, to learn how many communicates. Because you know how Steve Jobs was talking about Apple? He was talking about this not as a piece of technology. Like, he was talking about as a tool that helps you to solve a problem. It's a problem-solving tool. And I think the hardest part for us entrepreneurs, for me sometimes, sometimes I feel like I'm not tech. I'm an accountant, you know? But also being in tech for 10 years now, working on data analytics and AI, I catch myself, I'm like, all right, Sophia, try to explain it in a simple way. How can this technology help now make more money for the business owner? How can I help them to capture all their leads and convert them into customers as fast as possible, as most efficient as possible for them, so their business can thrive?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, I think the first step is just being open and reaching out to people who have the expertise and asking questions and getting your questions answered. And so, Sophia, that's where you come in, right? Someone like yourself reaching out to yourself and just saying, hey, like, I want to explore this. What does it look like? What does it mean? How can you help? What does it cost? Like, getting those questions answered. And so maybe tell us a little bit about where to find you and what you have available. I believe you do AI audits for people. You can support them in various ways. So maybe share a little bit about your business and then just where we can find you.
Absolutely. I do AI audits, but also I do AI webinars, free AI webinars. Like I have one on August 1st coming up at 2 p.m. Eastern time that I'm hosting for business owners just to help them with educating on. My goal is to kind of shorten that gap on AI literacy and then just share with things that I'm working on, things that are possible for them, to what tools for them to use, because it's just so overwhelming. There's a ChatGPT, Claude, there's Grok, there's Perplexity, there's Gemini from Google. I mean, what do you use? When do you use it? How do you use? So my goal is there. I was like, all right, let's just, my advice all this for everybody. If you're using ChatGPT, great. Let's master that. You don't really ChatGPT right now, just to start. You can get images out of it. You can get posts like for your social media out of it. You can get ideations out of it. You can help basically also maybe give you some ideas for how to streamline your business operations. Kind of like it's a great tool and it's, you can speak to it. You can take some multi-model, for example. And I would say if you just do ChatGPT, you're already great. But then you can add on one additional layer. And what I'm showing on August 1st, how to use Claude Code for somebody who's non-tech. And I'm going to be showing not the kind of hands-on that you can use yourself after leaving my basically webinar. So you don't have to be a tech expert. You don't have to be a developer to utilize these tools that are out there and immediately buy back your time. And so people can find me at Zofia Foresight on my LinkedIn and my Instagram. And I know if you're coming from here, just message me, for example, AI library, and I'll send you my AI library, the link from Notion that I have.
Oh my gosh, that's all awesome. Definitely go to Zofia and to her Instagram and shoot her a DM and put in their AI library. And what did you say will happen when you do that?
I'll send them an AI library link that I have, so they can get all the prompts and all the best tips.
Oh my gosh, definitely go and do that. I'm going to go and do that. Zofia, thanks for being here. I have, you just have so much great information, and that's why I love this podcast, is just so we can learn. I know we're just scratching the surface, right, on AI agents and AI tools and AI and who you are and what you do. But that's why I love the podcast, because it gets us thinking, you know, and I always just say, be curious and be open. And so everybody follow up with Zofia, get your questions answered. And I have a few last questions, but you wanted to add something?
Yes, I do. I wanted to, I mentioned that we can also, I don't know if the podcast will pick it up, but we can call Vicky and you can hear how Vicky could respond to you. Do you want to try that?
Sure. Yeah. Let's give it a go.
Okay, so we have this HVAC Vicky. So she's there to respond to HVAC questions and kind of help to book an appointment, send the quick forms to make sure that the calls are catched. So I'm going to call.
Hi, you've reached HVAC IFO. I'm Vicky. I help with heating and cooling issues. Who's calling today?
Hi, my name is Sophia.
Thanks, Sophia. How can I help with your HVAC today? Are you having trouble with your heating, cooling, or something else?
My heating is not working.
Yikes. No heat is never fun, especially if it's chilly out. Can you tell me where you're located? Just a zip code or your city is fine.
Sure. I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
Got it, Boston. Is your heat completely out or is it just not warming up enough?
It's not warming up enough.
All right, that helps. Is this something you need fixed right away or can it wait a day or two?
I think I can wait for one day.
Makes sense. Just to speed things up, I can text you a quick service form. It helps us get the right tech and parts out so you're not stuck waiting for a second visit. Want me to send it over?
Sure, thank you.
Give me a moment. Thanks for letting me help. I'm sending you our quick service form. Just fill it out and our team will reach out as soon as possible to get your heating back up. You should get a text in a minute. Let me know if it doesn't come through or if you have any other questions.
Thank you. So what do you think? I should have asked cooling. I know it's summer.
No, that's okay. That's awesome. That's such a great example. You know what I love? She sounds like a real person. She's not, doesn't sound robotic. It's friendly and it literally gets you what you want right away. Like, and I saw that on your phone, it sent you the form right there and then, which is super cool too. So you get the answers you want right away and you get the service that you're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, we programmed Vicky to like see how she said, yikes, like, sure, and just a, like, there is a definitely, we had some people testing and they even asked, like, Vicky, tell me a joke, or Vicky, my air conditioner not working, I see the spark next to my cord, and like, call 911.
Yeah, like things to do and things to say. That is so cool. I'm glad we actually did that live example so everybody can hear like how effective it is, right? And how cool that is. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Okay, definitely. Vicky is your AI agent. Thanks, Vicky. Okay, so Sophia, a few last questions. And this isn't to do with AI. I'm just curious, as an entrepreneur and just as a wife and a mother and somebody who's seen a few seasons of transition, you know, from challenge to success, what would you say today would be your version of success or your definition of success?
Oh, that's so good. I think it's 1% better every day. And sticking consistently, showing up, and not giving up, pushing through the obstacles. Because, you know, I thought when I basically, my husband got laid off, you know, I was pregnant, I thought, my gosh, I'm not going to have my business. You know, my daughter's 8 months plus old right now. I have my business. We're working. We're still here. I'm growing. I just say, you know, 1% every day, just keep going. And then I also think I'm so grateful for the people that I have in my life, just because people keep showing up on me for me and helping me out. Yeah, that's all.
I love it. 1% every day. Okay. Next question. Cause the tagline of my podcast is Unleashing Greatness Within. What is three tips you would give someone to unleash their inner greatness?
Three tips unleash their inner greatness. Have someone that believe in you in your life. If it's not you, have someone to believe in you. And it's my husband. My husband believes in me bigger than anyone else. He thinks I'm a superstar. In my darkest days, he's always my number one cheerleader. Number two, greatness, I think, is knowing what you want and knowing what you're willing to give up for it. Number three is having your biggest why. My why is my children and my parents.
I love it. Okay, last question. What would be a call to action you would give the listeners today based on our message around embracing AI, using AI agents, being open to innovation? What's one call to action they can get off this episode and go and implement this week into their business?
Every day, try to either have an expert, get someone with you that knows AI and can do AI audit for you, kind of look at your process and figure out where the opportunities for you to automate, to buy back your time immensely and stay competitive in this market. And also I would say, maybe I know we're all business owners kind of busy, but allocate some time to maybe join these masterminds, or even if it's not a mastermind, on your leisure time, maybe allocate some time where you can go on YouTube and a little like learn about AI.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, everybody, right? Go do it. Definitely reach out to Sophia. Sophia, thanks for being here today and just sharing and educating us and basically asking us to be open, right, to what's to come with AI in the future for our business. And so just really appreciate you and appreciate your time.